you won't ever find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Now tuned into the greatest. Turn the music up in the headphones. Tim, you can go and brush your shoulder off, and I got you.
Chops here. Time for another Wicked Chops podcast. On the line, we're going to get right into it. I have Bluff Editor-in-Chief Lance Bradley. Lance, how you doing?
Good, thanks.
So this is going to be a special Power 20 edition of the podcast. Lance is the person in charge of, I guess, at least tallying the votes and, you know, coming up with the explanations on the reasons why people got in. But, you know, as always, what's great about stuff like the Power 20 is it gets people talking, gets people thinking, you know, whether they agree with the list or not. It's always good debate fodder. So, Lance, coming into this year's Power 20, What's your biggest surprise as far as somebody that you didn't think was going to make the list but made the list?
There's a couple that jump out. One is the backers, Sheets and Johnny Backs, and it's only because people that vote aren't online poker players. We don't have a lot of their guys voting, so the fact that they made it to number 20 is kind of a shock to me.
Yep.
The other one is probably yourself. You know, I think a lot of the work that you do is behind the scenes, and maybe people are looking for a little bit more visibility. And so the fact that someone who's a genuine behind the scenes deal maker got on is I think, a good thing to list.
Yeah, it's a good thing. You know, you talk a little bit about the methodology, and before we go further, and I definitely have some thoughts on you know, the Backs and Sheets edition. Why don't you talk about the methodology, how this works out, what's the process, what you guys do to compile the list?
Right, okay, so what we've done over the last couple of years is really expanded the process, and a lot of that is based on the feedback that we see, whether it's on forums or Twitter, or people that email us in with ideas. And what we've done is we sent out 101 ballots this year. Everybody that was on the ballot last year got a vote, and we grabbed another 81 voters that we felt were knowledgeable enough about the poker industry to really give us a list of who the top 20 were.
Are these mostly people that work at, like, online operators or media or just kind of a combination of everything?
It's a combination of everything. We've got online operators, land-based operators, agents, media. We've also got the mainstream media that were involved this year.
Do you have any players?
Yep, players are involved as well, absolutely.
Okay. Okay, so, yeah, the you know, just opened it up and looking at the list. While Backs and Sheets did not make my top 20, I think that might be one of the biggest omissions off of my ballot, you know, just thinking about it and the real influence guys like him. And then also, you know, to consider people like Eric Lindgren and other guys that are just known for having a stable of people that they put in. That was a very welcome addition. And, you know, I'd hope in maybe next year, once people kind of get that or it clicks, to see them even come up a little bit higher. Just because of the role that they play. It's so important to the overall poker economy. And a lot of the new young blood that are making a name for themselves on the scene probably wouldn't get a chance without them. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's actually not their first time on the list.
That's right. They made it a couple years ago, right?
In 2009, we didn't use just individuals. We allowed people to vote for corporations or groups or however they wanted. And a lot of people put backers high on their list that
right.
year. That was a much smaller voting group, but we had backers, and that included Sheets and Backs, as well as guys like Eric and others that are backing large groups of players. So it's technically not their first time on the list.
Okay, so we talked biggest surprises on the list. How about people that you were surprised were omitted, did not get enough votes from the panel?
I think the biggest surprise for me is probably Jeffrey Haas with the live-based Poker Stars tournament.
Yeah. What do you think? Just not enough people, you know, the name, he's not, like, as publicly out there. Why do you think he just didn't make it?
Yeah, that might be a little bit. He actually finished 22nd in the final tally. So
okay.
He was certainly close. It's not like he was, you know, 50th or something. But, yeah, I guess a little bit of visibility for him. A lot of our voters, and this is something we took steps to correct this year, a lot of our voters in the past have been North American-based.
Uh-huh.
Predominantly American. We had a lot of European voters this year. We reached out to our friends at Bluff Europe and asked them for help and sort of who should we be bringing onto the panel, a few other contacts we had over there. So we brought back a little bit, and I think that's going to help his case where he's certainly, with the success of the EPT, he's certainly a lot more visible over there. If the NAPT kicks off the way that they're hoping it does over the next year or 2 years, he's certainly going to move up a lot on this list.
Yeah, for sure. Do you think that – well, I'll say this. Some of the criticism I've seen on the forums and even like on our own site on Wicked Chops was that it felt like it was a heavy American or U.S. slant to the list. Looking at it, I don't necessarily see it that way. I mean, you got Jim Ryan. I would consider Tony G very international. I don't think it's like, you know, Mitch Garber even I would consider international. So I don't 100% see it that way. But if there was, like Jeffrey Haas, if there were other international people, like let's say next year, that you think could make the list, who would be, you know, other candidates?
I think you got to look at some of the people behind the Aussie Millions. I know it's only a one-off event in the sense that it's not part of a major tour. It's not getting major TV coverage in the States the way that some of the other events do. But that event draws a large crowd every year. In terms of its impact in Australia, it's massive. It's as big in Australia as the World Series of Poker is in Las Vegas.
Right.
For Australians, it's just that big an event. And it's first class all the way. That's another thing they have going for them. They've also got some partnerships that make that event big. Others, I think that, you know, you've got to look at some of the agents that are working over in Europe, whether it's Lars Kolind or Jim Irwood. They're making strides over there, especially as European poker just continues to blow up.
Okay. All right. So going through the list more individually, one by one here, Jim Ryan, is that a guy that you thought might have gone higher than he did?
Yeah, he was much higher last year.
Right.
And I think part of it, I'm not entirely sure why he dropped as much as he did. I mean, they've got the merge with bwin. They're making a good investment with the World Poker Tour. They seem to be sort of working to build that brand back up to what it once was. So it may simply be that they're not American-facing enough and party gaming simply isn't here yet. They're going to be, though. It's just a matter of time.
If I recall, last year in that 18 to 19 area, you had one of the Shulmans, probably Barry, in Card Player. And I remember in years past, you guys had gotten some criticism about Card Player just not being on the list. Last year, you know, you had your Card Player representative. No Card Player representative this year. Have you gotten any grief for that?
It's funny. 2 years ago, like you said, we didn't have them on the list. They'd never been on the list before. Last year, they made the list, and you know, we took that criticism. And it was fair criticism because I believe that they probably should have been on those lists at that time. We had voters this year, actually, when I challenged some of the ballots that came out, I said, is this really, are you 100% certain this is what you want to do? Let's make sure.
Right.
And if you want, I can give you a day extension on the ballot. And a lot of times they come back and say, no, I just don't think that this candidate is worthy of being on the list this year. One of those that came up a couple of times was Card Player. And we actually extended, you know, as a member of last year's Power 20, they got a ballot. They chose not to vote.
Last year they chose not to vote?
No, this year they chose.
This year they chose not to. Okay.
Entirely their call, and I can certainly understand why they wouldn't want to contribute to something that's a bluff product.
Sure.
But there was a few voters that told us that they didn't feel that they were a top 20 entity this year.
Yeah, it certainly feels like, you know, part of the reason I feel like last year they got a little bit more on the map is just because of the Shulman, you know, overriding success from the WSOP and WSOP Europe. And, you know, definitely no knock at, because they've got some really good journalists there that do great work. So no knock at necessarily employees, but just as a overall property or entity, it doesn't feel like they have quite the level of relevance that they've had in years past. You know, they just don't do things like the Power 20, I guess, that, you know, put them out there for public discussion. It's, you know, about betting the turn and seven card stud high low. And I don't think that poker has really gone that way over the last few years, where, you know, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, that was more compelling content. Okay, you touched on me as a surprise. I'd say I was kind of, you know, surprised as well, but hey, not going to complain. Then you, do you get any shit for you at 17?
Absolutely, for sure. There are people out there that will assume that, you know, myself and the ownership of Bluff and Jessica Wellman just sat around and put this list together and decided to throw a Bluff representative on there. A lot of the votes that I got, including some of the people that are actually on this list, they said, we're voting for Bluff, and since we can't vote for an organization, we're going to vote for the editor-in-chief. And that's how those votes get tallied.
Yeah, that's kind of it's a good point. Like, where it feels like some of the votes are, you know, in a way symbolic votes, where you know, compared to a couple of years past, where with, let's say, as you touched on earlier, backs and sheets or backers, you know, a few years ago that would have just been a backers vote, and now you're looking for maybe the most identifiable personality or people within that group, and so that's backs and sheets, so they get the symbolic backer vote. You know, where you know, I would say maybe my role in the industry is bigger than, you know, what's known from poker media, but I'm probably one of the more recognizable poker media people out there, at least of last year. So I feel like my vote was more of a symbolic poker media or poker blog vote as opposed to just me. And then similarly with you, with editor-in-chief with Bluff, you know, nobody's going to know everybody that's the owners of the publication, but they definitely know you. So as a relevant entity within the industry, that's who got the votes, you. Is that, do you kind of feel like that's accurate?
Absolutely. You know, we'd love to be able to make it, you know, 2 years ago we had the system where you could vote for groups, and so Bluff would have gotten those votes, but we don't allow that anymore simply because it makes the list too hard to tabulate properly. You can't tell me that the World Series of Poker is only slightly more powerful than, say, Matt Savage.
Right.
So we've gone to individuals. Individuals have to get the vote. In this case, they went for me. Eric Morris also got some votes on some ballots, so there was certainly a balance where there was Eric was there. He finished top 30, I think. So
yeah.
There is certainly a Bluff representative vote on the list, and that right. just happens to be me.
Okay. Phil Hellmuth was 16, poker's most valuable free agent, as you guys put it. He was not on the list last year. Is that correct?
He wasn't, yeah. And that was the one last year that kind of surprised me. I mean, love him or hate him, the guy drives TV ratings.
He drives
players crazy, but when he is going to be on a TV show, it does two things. It gets viewers to watch, and it gets more players to want to play in that game.
Yeah, for sure.
Tell me that they love to line up when Phil's on the card. If it's a cash game or tournament or whatever it is, they want to be on that show.
Do you think he's a guy I could see, after whatever deal he ends up getting, I could see go higher in the 2012 edition of this? It just feels like 16 might be even a little low for him this year, and if he's one of those people that he might get left off some ballots because people don't want to freaking stroke the ego, you know?
Absolutely. I can certainly see that. I think if, depending on who he signs with and what sort of deal he gets, if he gets a company that's going to put some resources behind him, not just dollars, but actual people working to sort of build the brand a little bit better and a little bit more polished, I think you're going to see him a lot higher on this list in a year.
One that jumped out on me, or to me, for being as high as he was, and I do think he definitely 100% deserves to be on the list, but Matt Savage, who you guys have at 14. You know, maybe he's the symbolic, we're talking about symbolic votes, maybe he's the symbolic tournament director vote because he's, you know, the guy that's puts himself out there more than anybody else. But, like, let's say Matt compared to a Jack Effel, is it surprising that Matt gets a little bit more recognition?
Maybe not so much. I think Matt's a lot more high profile than anybody else in his role. He's certainly more visible. He's called upon to direct tournaments outside of the World Poker Tour, has been for years now. The two events that he runs, the Bay 101 Shooting Stars and the LA Poker Classic, are two of the most successful in the World Poker Tour.
Yeah.
They're in two big markets, which helps his cause in this case. But he's also now got that role with World Poker Tour, where he's very visible. He's active on Twitter. He's very active with doing any interview that he's ever asked to do, so that certainly helps his cause in terms of getting votes and being well-known. I think in terms of the upper level of the World Poker Tour, that upper level of management, he's probably the guy that's getting those votes.
Yeah, for sure. I guess, you know, World Poker Tour, because Pliska, their CEO, Adam Pliska, did not make the list, even though I know he was on, you know, just knowing some people's ballots that did submit. I know he's on, you know, a few people's ballots that I was aware of. But, you know, Pliska's not a very high-profile guy like where Lipscomb was years ago. And, you know, Matt, maybe he's not just the tournament director vote. He's the WPT vote, too. He's that rep within the organization. Tony G, no surprise there. He's been a staple. He's been on it pretty much every year, right? And deservedly so. I mean, Poker News, as far as a media entity goes, is about as big as it gets traffic-wise. One of the criticisms I've seen lobbed, you know, and it was on 2+2, but, you know, relatively fair, was that there was not a 2+2 representative on the list. Surprising to you?
A little bit, but part of that is a problem with the system, and it's something we're going to try to address. I'm not entirely sure how we're going to do it, though. If we told people they could vote for one person from 2 plus 2 to be on the power 20, we'd get a number of different...
Probably get more Kev math than anybody.
We actually had some Kev math this year, so there's certainly that. But that's a problem with the system. It's something we'll try to address.
Right.
It's probably surprising that they're not on the list, but as much as there are people that love 2 plus 2, there are some people out there that hate them. I'm not in either camp, really. I visit 2 plus 2 and check it out from time to time. I listen to the podcast and stuff, but... to be perfectly honest, I don't know who I would vote for, so I can imagine that some of our voters had a similar issue.
Yeah, that's probably, looking back, that might be at least one of the two or three biggest omissions, because clearly 2 plus 2 is an influential and just really important and vital cog in the overall poker ecosystem. But... it's kind of amorphous that way too, in that it's a forum. So, the two people that head it up, on the mass mainstream level, or at least within the industry, aren't necessarily the most likable personalities, which kind of hurt them. Just when you look at, like, even a Phil Hellmuth probably gets hurt for that aspect. But, with Mason and Sklansky, I don't think that their Q score within the industry is off the charts. So it's kind of hard to pin it down on somebody to say, okay, this is the guy that we're going to get behind, and you're the reason why 2 plus 2 is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, the power of 2 plus 2 isn't the people running it. It's the collective voice of that community, and that's hard to represent in a single vote.
Yeah. I kind of feel like next year that should be the Kev Math vote.
It might be.
Just galvanize it behind Kev Math. Let's do that. Flipping the page here with the issue in front of me, we got Tom Dwan at 12. What is your take on putting so – obviously it's not you personally putting the players on the list, but on so many just players making the list, do you really feel like they have that much – the majority of them have that much influence and sway? Like with a Durr, what's the case with him being as influential as a power player in the industry?
This, I think, comes down to something that we sort of leave up to every voter, and that's define power in your own way. Define influence however you want.
Sure.
I think a lot of the players get votes simply because of their ability to drive ratings or to drive interest online, build marketing campaigns around. Durr's 23 years old, and he's got marketing campaigns built around him, the second biggest online poker site. That's big. He also has TV ratings that draw. I mean, the fact that he's not going to be on high-stakes poker this year is a major concern for people. They really want to be able to see Durr play high-stakes cash games. So I think that's what drives Durr's interest here. I don't think that there's any chance that even Tom would admit that he's got any sort of influence over the future of the game yet. I don't think he's at that point, but I certainly see him as somebody who's a big figure in the game.
Okay. John Pappas, PPA, 11. I've always been – well, I think John is very intelligent, bright, and a great representative for the Poker Players Alliance. I've always been a little bit what's the right word about it? I just don't think the PPA has quite the clout that we would like them to have, and give it time, they'll probably get there. It's still, in all intents and purposes, a pretty new organization. But that was one that I was surprised was as high as he was, for sure. Doyle Brunson, 10. He's been a consistent staple on the list. But I'll say this, and everybody loves Doyle, but I don't understand the power or influence that he has. What was your write-up on him that provided some of the justification?
Again, it's going to come down to sort of him being a face in the game and being so visible. He's got Doyle's Room behind him, which is a really small sort of skin on a newer network now. But again, he's a guy that, he's on high-stakes poker, he's on the big game, he's on Poker After Dark, and he still gets people to tune in, and that's a big thing for him. But yeah, I'd agree that the definition of power here and influence might be a little misconstrued in putting Doyle in the top 10.
Yeah, I mean, but then again, Doyle's a guy to make the case for him. It feels like if Doyle put out a message to all the poker players, like, hey guys, this is something that we should do, he's one of the few guys that they would all fall in line and do it.
Absolutely. I mean, when the big game was going on at Bobby's Room on a regular basis, it was Doyle and Chip driving it.
Mm-hmm.
Chip passed away. Doyle drove it for a little bit. when Doyle speaks, the community listens, and I think that's a big, and by community I mean the group of players, not just sort of the online world, but the players listen. If he's got something to say about a tournament structure or sort of a political direction, they're going to listen.
Number nine is Maury, and he is maybe the symbolic vote of, you know, the poker productions of the world, like 441, and it's pretty much, I guess, just him and 441, maybe a couple others smaller. But a lot of I was reading some comments. People were saying that it's all the online sites that are paying for the productions anyway, so does he really warrant justification? I think he should be on the list, personally. But what do you think? Do you think that, as the head of a, you know, somebody that's cranking out as much poker content as he does, but it's mostly paid for by the sites, that he's got the kind of sway and influence that deserves to be on the list?
Yeah, I think so. I think one of the big things that people don't understand about Maury is he managed to turn poker programming into a successful business. You know, the World Poker Tour came up with the original model where they traveled around with this, dragging this set across the country, and they were essentially losing money doing it. And Maury figured out, like, look, what if we shot everything in Vegas? What if we did everything in a studio? What if we had one set, one table? And he's managed to, you know, he works with Full Tilt, he works with Poker Stars, he works with the biggest names in the game to get them on TV. He does it very, very well. That's the key. Anybody can produce poker content. We saw a ton of really bad poker content 4 or 5 years ago where everybody and their uncle thought that all we needed was the whole cam and somebody telling funny jokes in the booth. Maury's managed to make sort of a blueprint for what makes successful poker TV, and I think that's what gets him that vote.
Okay, before I flip the page to number eight, there are approximately zero women on this list. Who is the which woman came closest to making it?
That's actually a really good question. You know, it's not. I think it's sort of symbolic, unfortunately, of the way that the industry exists right now. There are women working to change it. You know, you've got somebody like Linda Johnson, who's very visible as an ambassador for the game, and everything she does is built around making the game better.
Yep.
You know, another name that comes up is probably Annie Duke.
Yep.
Whether or not she can successfully get this pro league off the ground and get the TV deal that's now rumored. So that's another name that jumps out. But yeah, I'd like to see more women inclusive on the list for sure.
Were there, overall, how many women do you feel, do you think even made it on the ballots? Like Linda, Annie, were there more after that?
Not a ton. They got a lot of, you know, more than one or two votes.
Okay.
Matt Harper from the European Poker Tour got one. She works her tail off for that entity. So I can certainly see her getting a couple of votes. I don't know if she'd ever make top 20, but
right.
There are women out there that are working hard to get this game the recognition that it deserves.
So. Yeah. I would obviously, you know, you're just counting ballots, so it's not like anything that you guys can make happen, but it would be good just to see a few females on the list. I think next year, depending on what happens with the whatever they're going to call the Federated Poker League, that I would imagine Annie ends up making the list some way or another.
List before, so it's not it wouldn't be a shock to see her.
Right. Yeah. Because all these ballots went out, and I think were submitted even before the announcement was made. Right.
Absolutely.
Okay. So next page, we got number eight with Mitch Garber. I was actually surprised to see him not in the top five, in at number eight. He was, definitely top 10 worthy. So, you know, he's not terribly low, but I figured he would have been top five-ish. What do you think it'll take for Mitch to climb the ranks next year?
I think if WSOP.com can continue to grow their gaming side, and they've got the deal with Italy, they've got a deal in France, so they're working on it. It's a slower pace, I think, than they originally intended, and I know they want to get something going in the U.S., whether it's on the social media side or whatever it is, but
right.
I think if that can continue to grow over the next year, he's going to be moving up. So.
Now, the one player that I would argue should be the highest-ranked player, and it's not like he's far off from being the highest-ranked player, but that would be Daniel Negreanu, who's number seven. And let's talk about him and Phil Ivey together. Why do you think Ivy, who is clearly, as you put it, he's the best poker player in the world. I think all the pros agree with that. But he's not a guy that's ever going to be a free agent, command a big deal, doesn't really care about media, doesn't, you know, even invest necessarily a ton in the poker economy. Why do you think Ivy got edged out Negreanu for influential players that made the list?
This was actually the closest between any two was Daniel and Phil. I think Phil gets a little bit more credit because he maintains that level of mystery. Daniel has a huge following. It's massive. He also has a group of people that simply don't like him.
And right.
Again, he suffered a little bit like Phil Hellmuth did, that there are people that either put him lower on their ballot or completely left it off it.
Yeah, I don't see how anybody in their right mind could leave Daniel Logano off a ballot. But and, you know, I think it's tough for me to figure out a way to justify at least putting Ivy that high, because just, again, I just don't see what he's bringing other than, you know, he's obviously a star, but even that, it's not like he's the Michael Jordan guy that's out there marketing the hell out of himself. If anything, he's doing the exact opposite. So that's just one, that's just one I'm not going to get, but that's, you know, that's just me, and everybody's entitled to their opinion. On the sidebar, before we get to number five, there is a one to watch, and I'm really glad that you guys did stuff like this year with One to Watch and the Where Are They Now. But you have Low Tony, who is the guy who more or less heads up Zynga Poker. Did he get any votes on his own?
No, he didn't. And I think largely because nobody knew who he was.
Sure.
And, you know, there were a few people that brought up Zynga itself and said, we'd like to vote for somebody, we just don't, they don't have a visible source. Zynga's CEO got a few votes.
Okay.
But, you know, when we talked to Zynga and said, you know, who's running your poker operations? Who's in charge? And they gave us Low. And, you know, he's not a poker guy. He'll admit that, first and foremost. He's learning the game. He's learning about it. He's strictly a numbers guy, a business guy. And he's going to be the guy that makes that decision on how to monetize Zynga Poker better, whether it's a subscription model or whether it's sticking to the credits program or whether they go to real money gaming, which tends to be this low existing rumor that maybe Zynga's got a position once there's legislation in place to really just take the market by the horns.
Yeah, I just read the last half of the last sentence that you wrote on him, but Tony could suddenly become a top 10 member of the Power 20. I would be very surprised if he did not end up making the list next year now that you guys have identified him and called him out for being, you know, a figurehead there. Number five, Brian Balzba, Poker Royalty. He was kind of low last year, you know, comparative or maybe his place in the industry is. Do you think that this is more or less an accurate assessment now?
I'd say so, yeah. You know, I think the only sort of grief we get on putting agents in the list is from other agents.
Right.
So I think Brian's placing him. I mean, you look at the roster of players that Poker Royalty has, and it's pretty ridiculous. You know, they have a couple of players that aren't with them that are big names, but for the most part, they've got Hellmuth, they've got Negreanu. Those are big, big names. I mean, five people in the Power 20 are represented by Poker Royalty. That says a lot right there, I think.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, you got James Sullivan mentioned in there, which is good, who probably in his own right could have made it. I'm, you know, a Poro guy now, so that's, as you noted, if there's five players and then, you know, another couple representatives, that's that speaks pretty highly, you know, or at least validates the positioning there. So number four, who I would have thought for sure would have been number one this last year, but Harry Reid. Do you think that had the legislation gone through, he would have been a lock for number one?
Absolutely. The ballots actually went out in the middle of the Harry Reid bill.
Okay.
Madness. And we got some back before it had failed, when everybody was very optimistic and it was looking like this is a slam dunk to get done. And a few came in after the fact that he sort of raised the white flag on it. But yeah, I mean, if he gets it passed, he'll be number one on this list without question.
Okay. Ty Stewart, who's assumed Jeffrey Pollack's leadership position at the WSOP, clocks in at number three. That seems, you know, about right. Do you think that... Where did Jeffrey ever top out? Was he ever like one, two, or three?
Yeah, Jeffrey was three, I think. Jeffrey hasn't been on the list since we changed it to individuals.
Which right.
Is something key to know, because the World Series of Poker always ended up in the top two or three.
Right.
That took away a little bit from Jeffrey's overall total. So.
Right.
Ty is probably as high now as Jeffrey ever got.
Yeah. I mean, obviously what Ty brought to the table with last year and appears this year with new sponsors and just the overall growth of the World Series itself, which is, I think, unquestionably the biggest event in all of poker and one of the biggest things that fuels the overall poker economy. You know, for people that have never had the opportunity that are listening to this to come down to the World Series of Poker, it's just far exceeds what your expectations would be of the event as far as how massive it is. So, yeah, definitely a deserved spot for Ty there and how he's picked up the reins from Jeffrey. And, you know, I think as most people would probably agree at this point, has definitely exceeded what Jeffrey has done or did.
He also helped rescue the WSOP circuit from what was a scrap heap of poker tournaments. I mean, it's got some prestige now. There's $10,000 buy-in event. It's got a TV deal.
Yep.
It seems to have all the pieces in place to sort of be relevant again.
So he who shall not be named at number two, I'll say this with Poker Stars. You could probably put four or five guys from that company on this list and you know, not get any questions about it. Unfortunately, just most people aren't going to – most people, like you had mentioned earlier, Jeffrey Haas or a John Caldwell, most people aren't going to totally know their roles or why they should be on the list, and it's probably why they're not on. But I would say, you know, it's always going to come down to, at least until the laws change and there's new players in the U.S. market, feels like it's always going to come down to Stars or Tilt in one or two. And in one, you know, you have what is essentially full Tilt. So are you surprised that I would consider this a bit of an upset that, that essentially the industry is saying full Tilt is number one over Poker Stars?
Maybe. I think Howard gets a little bit more vote from the poker community for work outside of what he does with Full Tilt with Pocket King.
Sure.
You know, he's on the PPA. He's a big part of Students for Television production. So I think he gets a little bit more credit for that, whereas the Poker Stars vote is a little bit more, you know, like he said, he could put anybody on there, and I know a lot of their people did get other votes, which may have cost them a little bit, but
yep.
I don't think that you can really differentiate between one and two on this list.
Yeah, and I guess it's kind of tough with he who shall not be named at number two, because, you know, he founded it, but probably isn't as active as a role as maybe he had in the past. So there's probably some other players coming up through the ranks that I could see ending up in, if not number one, in the top five next year. As the ballots go out and people just become a little bit more aware of the industry. Let's talk about the voting process a little bit more before we wrap this up. What were your, I don't know if complaints is the right word, but if there's things that you want to fix or, you know, people that maybe you'd reconsider giving ballots to, just like what would you consider doing differently next year for the voting process?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we want to continue to improve. It's never going to be perfect. We're never going to make everybody happy.
You guys are like the BCS formula.
A little bit, yeah, unfortunately. But what we do take pride in is the fact that we're constantly trying to improve it. There are people that voted this year that simply aren't going to get ballots last year. And the reason for that is simple. We sent out the ballot at, say, noon to a certain group of people. I got some ballots back in 7 minutes.
Wow.
There's absolutely no chance that I could name the 20 most powerful people in my own family, never mind the poker industry.
Yeah.
They're not putting a lot of thought into it, and they're putting themselves and their close business associates higher. And that's unfortunate because it really brings down the credibility of the list. And
do you feel like some of it's like the just blatantly trying to promote the business, or just because that's, you know, what they're closest to and what they know, so that's just what's going to stand out?
It might be, but some ballots were pretty obvious where they would vote for themselves in a top five spot and then nobody else in their industry at all in the top 20.
Okay.
There's very few people, I think, that could realistically do that. I don't think there's anybody that could realistically do that, to be perfectly honest.
But you count those ballots just the same, regardless?
No, there's a little bit of methodology that we try to, you know, keep people honest. When somebody's going to vote for themselves, we're not going to count that vote as we're not going to give that vote as many points as we would normally if, say, Joe Blow had voted for them.
Sure.
We do take into account sort of business relationships along the way, and we look for ballots that are simply just, this is somebody sucking up or this is somebody not putting a lot of thought into it. There was two ballots this year that I had to just sort of turf, and that was unfortunate, but it happens. You know, the ballot came in, and you could just tell that they were simply thinking of themselves and nothing else. And that's not what this list is meant to be about.
So. Sure. Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, so next year, are you sending it out to more people or less people?
We're probably going to try and keep it around the same, but we're going to target a different group. Obviously, we want to get a little bit more European representation in there. As the South American game grows, we're going to look for a few people down there that we can work with. We've got Bluff Brazil, which just launched, which we're going to reach out to, and then hopefully they can put us in touch with some movers and shakers down there that we can get their input. We may end up expanding the list beyond the 20, simply because since we launched this product 6 years ago, the industry itself has grown to the fact we're naming 20 is almost not enough. You know, we might want to get to 30 or 40 or even 50. So.
Dang, 50. I was thinking 25 would do. But, yeah, you could certainly make a case for 50, though. But cool. Well, you know, I think all in all, when I looked at your final results, it wasn't, like, too terribly far off what my ballot was. So, you know, I kind of feel... And, you know, I feel like I'm a guy that's pretty keyed into the industry. So I have to say that overall, you guys did a great job with it, or at least the methodology that went into it on the voting process. It seems like it's not too terribly far off. So well done.
Thank you. I mean, it's something that we take a bit of pride in. Obviously, we're never going to be able to please everybody, and we're well aware of the criticisms out there, and we're working to make sure that this list is as close to perfect as we can get it.
Okay, so that would be it. Lance, I appreciate the time, as always. And that wraps another Wicked Chops podcast. Look for us early next week. I think our next one will be, and I'm sure you know, half the people are going to be like, oh, shit. And the other half are like, yeah, this could be interesting. But Colin Slim and I will be drafting our top 24 for American Idol. So basically we're doing American Idol fantasy pool. We're all drafting somebody out of the top 24. I guess we'd get math, 8 picks each with a scoring system and a little side wager on that as how it works out through the year, through the season. So for our Idol watchers, that should be entertaining. And for guys that just want to hear 30-year-old guys doing a fantasy draft on an American Idol, it could be entertaining as well. Lance, thank you.
Thanks for having me on.
And that's it for this Wicked Chops podcast. Till next week.